Support for Spookfound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.
Welcome back to Spoof Hound Spotlight here on KXCV KRNW. I'm Jeremy Werner, joined alongside with Maryville R2 Superintendent Dr. Logan Lightfoot. So for this month's Spoof Hound Spotlight, number two in the books, it's July, and you know, like we said before we hit the record button, there's just dog days of summer, not much going on, but there's still a lot going on. I mean, I think some of the things I noticed when looking at the calendar, there was still a lot of summer camps going on in a district, and then, you know, we're just a few weeks away from, you know, several fall practices starting up as well. So there's, you know, really a lot of exciting things going on. Before we kind of dive into that, I remember last time we talked, you said that there would be little team building things with faculty, staff, admin, and it sounds like that went really well. How'd that go?
It went great. We actually had our first, we had an admin council retreat and a lot of fun. We took, there's a total of 14 of us, including myself, and we all met up, went off campus, went out to Mazingo, and we spent a full day, and you know, if you can imagine, 8 hours in July talking school, but some would think not fun, but we really had a lot of, we had a good time and had a lot of nice takeaways from it. In terms of, you know, from my perspective, wow, Jeremy, it was a real eye-opener for me. We have great kids in Maryville R2, but we also have great adults, and with that comes great leaders. And we've got some folks that really, really do a great job at leading our buildings in terms of principals, assistant principals, and directors, have a heart for kids, and really just have a passion for what they do.
So what are retreats like, I guess, for, I mean, especially as a new superintendent? I just kind of imagine the whole, well, it's our first day of class, let's go around the room and say our name, where we're from, and our favorite movie. Is that kind of what it was?
You know, there's a little bit of that, but you know, we have a familiarity with each other a little bit already. We probably spent the first 10-15 minutes just doing some icebreaker stuff, but really, you know, what we focused on, kind of the theme for the day was, what's your motive? And what's your motive and why do you lead? And oftentimes, just not in school, but just in general, leaders and people in position of leadership often forget their motive, you know, why they chose to lead to begin with. And we really kind of delved into that, and just so encouraging to hear so many of our building leaders at Maryville, they've never lost track of why they do what they do. And why they do what they do is in their classrooms every day. And they lead because they truly have a heart to see kids succeed. And that came through really, really, really quickly.
And so what's morale like? This will kind of going into this year, this be, you know, the first year where there's not really this uncertainty about masks or shutdown. I mean, this is kind of just like the full year of back to normal. What's the mood been like amongst people in the district with that, you know, coming up?
Yeah, I would say highly optimistic. I have the good fortune of coming in at a great time. You know, we have a long history of really good leadership in our school district. And so we've had some really good precedent set and good things have been happening in our schools for kids. And so I've been able to come in and, you know, like, to your point, there's always a little bit of, you know, what's around the corner with health crises and things like that. But yeah, just, you know, we're going to be opening our doors in August. And really, I mean, we're going to be opening up to a year that really has a lot of optimism. You know, we're not looking at, you know, large scale health crises right now or anything like that. It's really a good time to be a spoof hound, and we're really excited.
Now, did you hear any concerns from anybody over the retreat about anything upcoming this year that you guys are going to start look at and tackling?
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, where is, you know, just everything hunky dory, and I'm just prying for something negative.
No, I wouldn't say that. Not necessarily anything specific like that. Really kind of our biggest concerns we talked about. We want to make sure we stay focused. And meaning that we're fully staffed up. We're very fortunate in that sense, because there's a lot of school districts that, you know, they're still looking for A, B, and C before they start the school year. And that's a tough position to be in. And we're not in that. But really what we want to do is we want to start the school year. You know, we've got a CSIP. We have a strategic plan where we know what we want to do. And we know that we know the steps we need to take to be really successful for our kids. And as a school district, that can be really a hard thing sometimes to stay focused. And so a vast majority of our day was really spent looking at some of those tangible goals and what we need to do to really support our teachers in the classrooms and support our coaches and things like that, to provide those things to where we can really move forward and meet those goals.
And so moving on to, you know, the key goal of the success, which is students. There's been actually a lot of student success just around the district this summer, even though, you know, classes aren't in session. Skills USA, Missouri Academy, and, you know, a lot more. What's been going on with, like, student success this summer in the district?
Yeah, we've had a ton. And, wow, as a new person coming in, like, what a better way to, you know, just see your students succeed and be really proud of the school that you're coming into. And we have that. We had a student, Connor Blackford, be admitted to Missouri Scholar Academy, which that is literally your best and brightest younger students in Missouri, being able to go into the University of Missouri and be, you know, kind of spend a couple of weeks fully immersed into kind of a college atmosphere and advocate for their school district and really represent their school district. And it was really neat that Maryville got a student in there, which was really neat to see. We had Skills USA go down. We had several teams, you know, represent our school and represent several areas that of competition where they went down and competed really well. And so that was really kind of neat to see too. So state level, national level, it's been kind of, as a new person coming in, you know, it's not just as the summer we shut down or the summer we work on just sports. Like our kids have been really excelling academically as well.
And, you know, last episode, if I'm remembering correctly, you know, summer school, still a little bit of time left, but now summer school is kind of in the rearview mirror. Do you have a summary for that, you know, academically for summer school?
I do. Yeah. We really, at the elementary and the middle school level, we have a program called Summer Journeys. And what that is, and this is a huge tip of the cap and credit to our Summer Journeys staff. And so we have Kim Walker, Howard Dumke lead Summer Journeys with some of our teachers. And really, if you think, you know, if you remember back to your school days, spending time in school in June and July probably wasn't high on your school or probably wasn't high on your list. It certainly wasn't mine. But they really did a good job at inviting students in, really making learning pretty exciting, pretty interactive. And so we had 400 kids attend Summer Journeys. And one thing, Jeremy, I thought that was really kind of neat about that is they started May 31st. They went all the way until June 24th. And so that's a long time.
People can't see, but I'm giving you a face of 400 kids gave up a month of their summer.
They did. And it, crazy as that sounds, but they did. And so, you know, granted, you had some students, you know, out sometimes for summer vacation and things. But here's the thing. We had 154 students not miss a minute of Summer Journeys, which is unbelievable. We had 273 kids miss a very minimal amount and be able to get rewarded for attendance and things. But that is such a high number of kids do that. And that's a credit to our kids' dedication to being able, you know, being dedicated and being committed enough to come back every day and learn. But also, I mean, if you think about that twofold, that also requires a really engaging really committed teacher as well. And so, you know, in terms of engaging curriculum, in terms of, you know, making it really exciting for kids, what a great way to kind of expand and improve learning and close any of those gaps that, you know, you might have and things like that. And wow, our staff did a wonderful job with that.
And I don't know if you have the old numbers, but is this 400 seems like a lot. Is that like a high for this program?
They have actually, over the last 4 years, they have just exploded in numbers. And that really is, and I keep coming back to that, that's an attribute to our leadership. You know, that's an attribute to Ms. Walker, our teachers and our kids, but also that's, you think of the family commitment to that too. You know, that's families committing to, they're going to put their kids in there. They're going to schedule summer outings and vacations around those things. That is a collective, that's a collective community saying, we value our learning enough that we're going to make our commitment to send our kids there. And so, yeah, that, it's probably a high. I don't have the numbers for sure, but I would say probably the last 2-3 years, we're right around that 350 to 400 mark.
So throughout the year, how much is this, and is this something that's encouraged amongst the student population at the schools?
Yeah, we do. It's encouraged with teachers. It's encouraged with our schools because really, you know, we've had a chance to really expand learning, you know, and we really feel like this is a good investment and a good way to really take what we've learned during the school year, make it relevant, make it fun for kids. But also when you start that next school year, you know, you can start and hit the ground running a little bit more, and it's a little less of a gap time to where you can really get going.
I almost feel like I wasted all my previous summers just kind of horsing around.
You and me both.
Because there's another note. It robotics qualified for the world competition.
Yeah.
So what kind of robots are they building on a scale from, you know, something that measures something all the way to a T-1000 from the Terminator movies? What kind of robotics are we talking about?
Hugely impressive. And so I would love to have, in fact, maybe, you know, in future shows, I might try to see if Mr. Stone or maybe some of his kids can come in with me. They basically, so at the very beginning, it's a really interesting competition. So our kids and our teams get these, they basically get missions. And so they'll say, you know, you have to design a robot that does X, Y, and Z. So it might have to drop a ball into this bucket. It might have to do these kinds of things. And these are the materials you can get to build with it. And they actually compete against other robots in terms of tasks, you know, accuracy, time completed. And I'm telling you, some of the most impressive things I have ever seen high school students do is with those robotics. And to qualify not only for, you know, state level competition, but national, but to qualify for a world level competition like that, you have to build something incredibly impressive. And the, you know, with what Mr. Stone and our kids do, it's incredible. I mean, it's not just commendable, like they're building some of those critical thinking skills, and they're building some things that are going to be life skills that they can use in their careers for a long time.
And how many kids are in this group? I'm kind of thinking about when I was in high school and school in general, and it was kind of, there was kids who were into robotics. It was a fringe. I don't think they were doing the robotics that is happening here. They were more focused on creating robots that could attack and destroy other robots. I think they called them battle bots. But like, how many kids are in this?
You know, it kind of varies per year. But interesting you bring that question up. We actually, at the middle school and the high school level, we have a program called Project Lead the Way. And what that is that, I mean, it's not just robotics. It deals with more of your exploratory hands-on learning. And it does a lot with some of your computer coding, things that will really get into robotics. And it really does grab those kids that really might have a bend or a talent or a knack to build things like that. And so we offer not just, we have a club obviously, and we have, you know, the robotics clubs, but we actually offer courses during the day. We start at the middle school level and it gets more specialized and, you know, more intense, if you will, up at the high school level, to where you can actually take some of those courses that really build those skills. We can have 2-3 teams at a time. I believe, if I remember right, at the high school this year, we had 2 teams of robotics teams that competed.
It's almost like a JV and varsity almost.
I don't want to speak out of turn on that. They might have had two teams equal, but yeah, they certainly could, for sure.
Well, if someone accuses you of it, just blame me. That'll be fine. So where's the world competition at?
Oh, gosh. You were going to ask me that. I should have looked before I came on here.
I was wondering if it was like, I feel like it's something that would happen somewhere in the Western world, somewhere it US is, or
yeah,
Europe.
It is. And I want to say Dallas is where it was.
That makes sense. They would probably have it at probably Jerry World or something, which is speak for the Dallas Cowboys stadium.
Yeah. It's, I mean, really, like, and they, I mean, just like I said, to even make it to that level is, I mean, you are really competing against some top notch. I mean, some really, really high achieving schools.
And you know, not to take away from like everything that students have been doing this summer, but the Maryville Young Players, on the same foot and token as everyone else, has been busy this summer with Shrek the Musical.
They have. And so Shrek the Musical actually performed. It was the latter part of June. And just a personal story, we moved down here that week and actually got some tickets to go watch it. And when I heard the term community theater, I had in my head what I thought a performance would be from community theater. I went and watched that Shrek performance, and it was nothing like what I thought community theater would be. Absolute top shelf from our kids, from, you know, recent graduates of Maryville, just put on an incredible performance. And so they really, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that from a perspective on a summer play or something like that. And they're actually getting ready and gearing up to put on Wizard of Oz, the musical, with some of their younger students now.
And when will that be?
They are, I should know that because my daughter is a munchkin.
Ah.
But that is, I believe, the latter part of July is when they put that on.
You didn't demand a bigger role for her?
I think she is very happy with being a munchkin right now.
She isn't ready for the spotlight yet.
Not necessarily. Dorothy, maybe next year.
Okay. Well, I'll ask you again next year, although next year might be a different musical.
Yes.
But I mean, other than that, you know, what's going on around the school district this summer? I know, you know, we talked earlier and we're already 15, 16 minutes in, but, you know, July is kind of a slower month as opposed to the year, but.
Yeah. A couple things. Sports wise, we've got a lot going on. Football team, they did team camp at South Dakota State this year. Really some of the stuff they have going on football wise is sports in general, really impressive with how our coaches get our kids not only engaged with summer weights and things like that, but just how they have them out in the community, how they, you know, do team dynamics and things with them. Just really, I mean, we have a certain level of success at Maryville. And when you see how our coaches engage our kids, it's pretty easy to see why. We're looking at all of our sports really excited. Cross country, we've got the last three conference championships and state runners up last year, and we're returning everybody. Boys soccer, we're going to have we're coming off our most successful season from last year, and I think we're returning a lot of and pretty much everybody. So a lot of really good things going on upcoming for this fall for sure.
And this is selfish of me to say because I only looked up when football starts because your home for Spoofhound football will be on KXCB KRNW, but that'll be August 19th. Are the facilities ready, or is there a little bit more kind of work to do before everything's ready before the start of fall sports?
You know, we're getting really close. We actually, Adam and the crew have done a great job of getting our facilities ready. We're doing some really nice work in the multi-room, the room right above the football field. Really neat. They've done some really nice enhancements with our locker rooms for home and away. We actually got some nice new lockers and things like that. Really does looks good inside. Doing some facelift kind of things at the football stadium, and things are going to be ready to go for sure.
And eventually I'll quit asking questions like these, but what is it like? Cause every state it's set up differently up and down. What is the transition like going from knowing everything there is to know about Nebraska high school football to Missouri high school football?
It's a really good question. I find myself being a bystander a lot these last couple of weeks. And so lucky for me, I have surrounded myself with, a lot of the folks that work with me, that work in my office and that, you know, that are coach and things like that are very good at their jobs and they've been doing it a long time. And so it's very easy for me to be able to ask questions and get a very informed and very good answer. And so I anticipate for probably about the next month, I'm going to be doing a lot of that, but for reasons for the people working around me, I'm going to be able to pick up pretty quick.
And once again, my bias is only showing because I did not ask about any of the other fall sports, but you know, in the hallway before we came in, we were talking, you know, Spoofhounds have a lot going for them, not just in football, but, you know, the other sports you listed, including women's, golf?
Oh yeah, we've got just, I mean, our girls sports are really, our girls fall sports we're really looking forward to. So girls golf, we had our entire team qualified for state last year, which is a great feat, especially for our size of school. We're all back for the golf team, and so anticipate a really strong season there. Softball, we have a brand new coach for softball, brand new coaching staff, brand new coach Sammy Bunch. She was actually an All-American player at Northern Iowa, and so we're really expecting some, you know, expecting some improvements there, and really, you know, we're excited to see the program there. And of course, with volleyball, second year coach Bailey Cook. We're 2 years removed from our first girls team state championship ever, and we've got a senior class that's very solid, so we think we're gonna have a great season volleyball as well.
Okay, well, I you know, those are all the questions I think I have based on, you know, everything I've looked at. Was there anything else you wanted to mention before we get into our next segment?
No, just all in all, it's this type of year, it's an anxious but exciting time, and in Maryville, R2 in particular, it is a great time of year because we're gearing up for some really special things to start happening.
Okay, well, you know, the next segment, just like last time, not to mean to rip off somebody, but, you know, better know your superintendent. This is where I ask just a variety of random questions that come to your mind, and on the shared Word document, I try to add them in at the last moment before you see them, so I don't know if you saw them, but
I did not.
Okay, good. This first one is, what are you snobby about? And the reason I'm asking this is I'm accused of being very snobby about barbecue, being from Kansas City. Everyone's always like, you're always comparing it to Kansas City barbecue. And I'm just like, yeah, but that's where I grew up, and that's where a lot of people say the best barbecue is. So I feel like I get to be snobby about it a little. So, you know, what are you snobby about?
Well, this is about as vanilla as they come, but I'm an absolute Penn snob.
Hence,
like ink pen.
Okay.
There is, I will only sign my name with one type of pen. And so I stock up on these things. And I've got one in my little folder right now. And there's one type of pen. I like the way it writes. And that's the only type of pen I use.
When did that start?
It actually started. I used to be a high school English teacher, mm-hmm. and I hated the way that those old Bic red pens. I'm a lefty, and so when I would write, it would always get on my, it would always ink on my, yeah, on my hand. And so I finally found this pen that wouldn't leak on my hand, and it wrote nice and bold. And so from that point on, I used that pen. And so when I became an administrator, I was always, you know, using ink pens and signing and things. That was the pen I started using, and I won't go back.
I don't know if this is within the same generation, but I had a left-handed friend in middle school, and we were always encouraged to use erasable pens. I don't know. I can't remember why. But because of, like, just how poor the quality ink is, like, just after every class, just – up and down his arm, he's just covered in ink. So yeah. I can only assume you never used any kind of pens like that.
I did not. I would try to, like, wear those long sleeve t-shirts so I would cover up my hand or whatever. Yep. But I finally found the one pen I could use that wrote like I wanted to, but wouldn't smear on my hand. And that is how I became a pen snob.
So everybody out there now knows you're left-handed.
That's right.
Is there anything you do right-handed?
I do, actually. I golf right-handed.
Okay.
And I bat right-handed. Everything else, I'm a lefty.
I find that interesting because I write right-handed, and then sports, I do everything left-handed.
Is that right?
Well, except bowling.
No kidding.
Bowling, I have to do right-handed. I'll bat left-handed. I'll golf left-handed. And I try right-handed. I'm like, nope, just feels weird. All right, well. The other one, not as I try and think of questions that aren't too controversial, like something like, you know, what's a famous person you think you can take in a fight? I'm not going to ask that, although it's very interesting. No, this one, and I forgot to put a backup just in case, but what game show do you think you would be good at? And I completely whiffed on the fact that maybe you didn't grow up with game shows.
Oh, I grew up with game shows.
Okay. Do kids grow up with game shows these days?
Not much. I don't think so. My kids don't watch them.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's a crime because, you know.
Some of them you actually learn stuff on.
I would completely agree. Oh.
As a kid, I could always get prices right. I never.
You're Price is Right.
I grew up on it, and just like over, you watch it enough, you just kind of like pick up on like, oh, well, that's butter. That costs this much.
Is that right?
Now as an adult, I watch and I go, I don't know. And you know, I go to the store and buy this crap. I don't know.
If I ended up on Wheel of Fortune, I could probably retire next week.
Really?
I'm not bragging, but I kind of am. I'm really good at Wheel of Fortune.
So on the, what is that bit? Toss-up. On toss-up, you get it like after one letter.
I can go. Yeah. I'm telling you. I'm a one-trick pony, but I can nail Wheel of Fortune.
What about the final one? Those are always the ones people get tripped up on.
Oh, that's when I'm at my best.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any like kind of idea for like how to spin the wheel?
You know, no, I got nothing with that. I just, when that final puzzle comes up, just ice in my veins.
Well, you know what you need to do is you need to like build the Wheel of Fortune wheel in your house and like start test pulling it around to get like a mechanic down.
And then no.
Because there was that guy, I think it was in the 80s or 70s, who cracked the code to press your luck.
That's right.
Because he watched enough to realize there was actual an algorithm, and he knew when to hit it to avoid the, what they call that thing? The whammy.
That's right. I forgot about that, but that's true.
This is why I like that question, and I was kind of hoping you'd say card sharks.
I want a big card sharks guy.
I can see that. Well, that's one of the more luck-based game shows out there.
Yeah, that's true.
That and, what was it? Match Game.
I remember that one. Yep.
That was... No.
My family growing up, we were, and then, so this, when my wife and I got married, mm-hmm. we lived in Maryville for a while. We moved to Savannah, you know, that I taught there. We only got one station because we had the, you know, we had the bunny ears and we didn't buy cable. We could get one station and it came, and Wheel of Fortune was the Wheel of Fortune station. We watched that sucker every night, like weeknights, and man.
Like from the early days when it used to be, do you remember when Wheel of Fortune at the end, you would have all that winning money and then you would pick out stuff to buy with it?
Oh yeah. I forgot about it. It was a little after that one.
Okay.
But it was, yeah, but and that's another thing. My wife's pretty good at it too. And maybe it's because we watch it so much. I don't know, but I got pretty dang good at Wheel of Fortune.
It's kind of like, it's almost like a crossword puzzle game show in a way.
Yeah. And I like crossword puzzles too.
Well, maybe that's why then.
That's probably it. I never made that connection until you said that, but then maybe that's it.
Well, my generation grew up on Price is Right because it was always that show that you would watch when you were home sick when as a kid.
Yes. Oh,
so
yeah.
So my generation knows Bob Barker, Spay and Neuter Your Pets, everything.
Yes.
It's still on with Drew Carey, and
I've never watched it with Drew, though.
Yeah, it just seems weird. Yeah. And I think that's because I watched him on a show just being a genuine jerk to people all the time. So I'm like, it's kind of hard to see you in a role where you have to be nice to everybody on stage.
Yeah, he was snarky. Did you ever watch him in Whose Line?
Yes.
That's good. In fact, that came out when I was a freshman at Northwest.
Oh.
And we used to always watch that.
Well, what was the game show you would watch growing up? Not necessarily something that was on, I assume, most game shows. Because there was that point where all game shows were like that evening thing as opposed to like during the day.
It's true. And as I said, I did Wheel. I'm trying to think what else I'd watch. This is when I was older, but remember the original Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah.
So watch that a little bit. In fact, it came out and I taught in Savannah. There was a guy that was a teacher there. He was remember the people would call their lifeline?
Yeah.
He was like two people's lifeline.
Really?
Yes.
Did he ever get called?
Yes, he did.
Huh.
Bill Luce.
Did he know the answers?
He was the smartest man on earth. He did.
Now, the real question is, did they go with his answer?
Oh, I can't.
Because that was the thing. You could always like.
You could always say, I'm not doing it. Yeah.
Because it was like for people who don't know, there was a show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? We've basically listed off a dozen shows without explaining them, but it was a kind of like, it was almost like $100,000 pyramid, where the higher you went, the more money you could win. And you had like three lifelines. One was, it was like poll the audience, which was a crapshoot. Because, I mean, you're asking 100 people who just showed up that day to on a question that they don't know. I think the other one was like eliminating 2 out of the 4 possible answers. And then the other was a lifeline where you phone a friend. And I always thought that was weird because you only had 30 seconds. And there's just so much pressure to, A, answer that phone. Because I'm sure it happened, but you never saw like them call someone they didn't pick up. But I don't know. I just found that fascinating that, you know, that was a segment. And I find it even more fascinating there was someone in the area who was used twice. Now, was that during the Regis Philbin run?
It was.
Okay.
It was.
Because now they have a bunch of different hosts for it.
I didn't know it was still on.
I think it is.
It very well could.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the Better Know Your Superintendent segment. So he's left-handed, and if you like Wheel of Fortune, you guys already have something in common.
That we do.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for joining me today, and good luck until we see you next time.
Jeremy, thank you for having me.
That is Maryville R2 Superintendent Dr. Logan Lightfoot. I'm Jeremy Werner, and this has been your Spoof Hound Spotlight right here on KXCV KRNW.
Support for Spoof Hound Spotlight comes from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years thanks to the workforce at its Maryville plant. Employment opportunities at Kawasaki are available now. For information on careers, KawasakiMaryville.com. Also from the city of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. Golf offerings at Mazingo Lake include the Seacrest 18, the Watson 9, and golf simulators open year-round in the Conference Center. Details on tee times are available at MazingoLake.com.